Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey, everybody. It's Matt Myra and Matt Gourley.
Hi.
We are just going to record a little something up top to let you know what's happening in this very special episode of James Bonding. We had scheduled Kumail to be on the show. He couldn't make it last minute, so we decided, you know what? Craig Rowan's here. We loved him on GoldenEye. Let's do a quick podcast, a mission briefing. Well, we started talking about James Bond, and then we got severely off track, and the middle of the episode is essentially a brand new podcast that Craig and I invented while we were talking called 1990 High Five, where we essentially discuss what Matt Gourley was up to in 1995, just to sort of get in his head about where he was with James Bond. Listen, I had a lot of fun doing it.
Listen at your own peril is what we're saying. Don't even... it's gravy. You can do what you want with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and that's why we're actually going to
worry.
We're going to release this not even on Thursday. We're going to put it out a little bit earlier. Katie gave me a look like maybe that's not happening, but just know that this isn't a real episode. It's just sort of like a filler. It's like a little gift to the fans of like, hey, we're here. We do feel bad about not putting out the episode as often as we should.
Yeah.
And we were like, fuck it. Let's just get something down on the ears. And hopefully you guys will enjoy it.
Get down on your ears.
Get it down on the ears.
Get a yoga mat. Put on some beefcake in the artisans.
And my point is, if you enjoy, I think this is one of my favorite episodes just because of how bizarre it got.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank Craig for being a part of it.
Thanks, Craig.
Craig, you can say thank you in the intro. You can say thank you in the intro.
No, don't say anything.
I'm not here for this.
No. You just should just acknowledge.
I should not talk to you.
Don't.
Right?
You're just doing it weird right
I'll
now.
Stop.
You're making it odd. Okay. Right. Thank you.
But thanks for having me, guys.
Craig.
You're welcome. He's not on the episode.
So without further ado, we give you James Bonding 00 something.
Mission briefing number two.
Mission briefing ought.
I'm still here.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
James Bond.
Ooh.
Mission briefing. Let's do this.
What? Wow.
Huh?
Really? The hour we spent rehearsing that fucking paid off brilliantly.
I wish the people at home could see the pyrotechnics.
They can feel
imagine
the
them. Welcome to a very special edition of James Bonding. It's been a while since we've recorded. We thought we would give you one. The original plan for this evening was to record License to Kill with Kumail Nanjiani. Kumail Nanshowuppy, to borrow a first name from Pete Holmes. Kumail, he's busy. Busy guy. He's out there all the time. They're editing the Meltdown program that's going to be on Comedy Central this summer. So he was stuck with that and sends his regrets and owes us big.
Yeah, big time.
Quote, unquote. He owes us big. That's what he said to us. So
well,
he'll hopefully
make
good
on it. It's
going
to be enough punishment to make him watch License to Kill.
Yeah,
no,
which
I'm just
we'll
kidding.
Talk about next time. So, Craig Rowan, you're back.
I'm here. What the hell?
Yeah.
Craig Rowan's going to help us out with a very special mission briefing episode.
While Kumail is busy, I literally have nothing to do.
We should mention that Craig Rowan of GoldenEye fame. Craig.
Yes.
Craig,
I was the lead in GoldenEye.
Craig, the lead GoldenEye Craig, episode.
Craig
the
GoldenEye
yeah.
Rowan
yeah.
Is here with us today. Craig, of course, does a great podcast that's coming over to the Nerdist Network called It's That Episode.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
Oh, it's That Episode. It's a great...
you heard it here second.
Yep.
In my case, first.
Used to be over on the Splitsider, and then we brokered a huge deal.
You have no idea how many zeros were after that
we
zero.
We actually had to give them Jonah Ray. We gave them Jonah Ray.
Oh, man.
The person. Not. I mean, he's still going to do stuff on our network, but as a human being, he's owned by Splitsider now. But in exchange, we got Craig Rowan to come over and do a podcast on our network. Matt Gourley of Volkswagen fame.
Oh,
those are showing up on the television right now.
Yeah.
Very exciting stuff. Matt, I did. I texted you, and then I said something to you as soon as I saw you, and I'll say it on the air. You look great in those suits.
Thanks, Matt. And you look great right now as well.
Thank
you.
You really do.
Yeah.
Really. Cutting it down.
I saw one of the commercials as well, and you were great. And I said to Matt when it was on, I didn't even recognize you because you had a beard.
In fact, I just shaved that Sunday, like a 3-month beard.
Three-month winter beard's gone.
Yeah.
You're ready for spring. New things are coming.
That's right.
You're just
rebirth.
Rebirth. This is the rebirth of the James Bonding podcast.
That's right. We're on to Dalton and more.
It's gonna be a good run, guys. Also, this might be prematurely, but I'm just gonna say it anyway. There will be a James Bonding panel at WonderCon this year, which is a wonderful comic book convention that happens in Anaheim.
And can I say that it's confirmed that Sean Connery is gonna be there?
You could say that, but that's not true.
It's going to be the first time the six Bond actors have been in the same room. They're coming to Anaheim.
What if we got that just for a lark? They were like, yeah, fuck it. I'll show up to that. Yeah, that's no problem.
I'll pay you.
Do you think we can get a broccoli over there?
A broccoli.
Yeah, maybe a broccoli Rob. What is this?
We can get some broccoli.
We'll be on stage with some broccoli.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
This is my, this is Barbara Broccoli. It's just a stock of broccoli that I own that I've named Barbara.
But it's just the mixture of spices that make it just, I just tasted like a Barbara. So here we are. A lot of movies into this thing.
Yeah, it's a mission briefing episode where we do a sort of state of the podcast.
Yeah.
And we check in, we answer some questions, we talk about where we are in our James Bonding lives.
Talk about breaking James Bond news, which I'm going to start this with. I'm going to start this with some breaking James Bond news. Ralph Fiennes has said in an interview that the new James Bond movie is beginning filming in October.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, is he involved, or is just he was the guy that they're like, let's let him say it?
No, he's a big fan. Like, he breaks all the Bond news. He runs a website.
May I release that? Thank you. and that's actually, they were so tired of him that they just gave him a part. Mm. So that's
it's. Can I correct that? It's pronounced Reef Fiennes.
Reef Finnis.
It's Ryep.
Obviously, that means Mallory's back as M.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be addressed as M in this.
Craig
one.
David's still in it.
Sure,
I think he is.
He's probably going to hang out and be Ronson. Ronson.
Tanner.
Tanner. Ronson's. Not around anymore.
No, Ronson's dead.
Ronson died. When did Ronson die?
He dies in the cold opening of Skyfall.
No.
Yeah. Ronson.
Hang on.
It's true, man.
Ronson is dead.
Yeah.
And Ronson is not the guy I'm thinking of.
Who are you thinking
Robinson.
Of?
Robinson. Craig, what's his name?
Craig Robinson.
He is.
No. I'm talking about, his name is Robinson, that character.
The bald guy?
The handsome, tall, black gentleman in The World Is Not Enough and Tomorrow Never Dies.
Mm-hmm.
The one that lets us know that it's called the GPS system, Global Positioning Satellites.
Really hit that hard.
Lets everybody know what's happening.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. Sam Mendes is back.
Roger Deakins.
No Deakins.
That's a major
no
loss.
Deakins shooting, so it might not be as pretty as the previous movie.
I don't
movie.
See how it could be.
Well, here's my question. I'll pose this to both of you gentlemen.
Thank you.
Prettiest James Bond movie. A lot of people say Skyfall. Skyfall's a great-looking movie. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to have to pull us all back and say maybe it's Quantum of Solace. Maybe Quantum of Solace.
I will disagree.
Is visually,
I will say it might compelling. Be. It might be visually more compelling in its let's say editing, and but I think for sheer composition
of shots,
light and beauty, you can't touch Skyfall.
You can't. I can touch it.
You can't.
I think Quantum of Solace. Do you have an opinion on either of these?
I'm not sure which is the best, but I'll say it's definitely not License to Kill.
That's true. That may be one of the.
I mean, just
just the lighting.
It was just terrible. Yeah. Just really bad.
I think, that's John Glenn's last film. Well, we'll talk about this.
We'll touch on this eventually, but since we're talking about.
Yeah, we don't need to get too deep.
We don't need to get too deep into License to Kill, but here's what I'll say to License to Kill. License to Kill is, I feel, the most reactionary James Bond movie that has ever been. And by that, I mean it is reacting to every 80s movie that existed from 1980 to 1988.
It's basically a long episode of Miami Vice.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, with some
and,
Die Hard. And...
like, comically, a ninja shows up.
We gotta save this.
All right. All right.
I have a soft spot for that movie.
It's very soft.
A history and a soft spot and a weird tie-in.
As my dad would say, soft in the head, Matt.
Hey, Dad. Holy jeez.
So it's coming out October 2015 in the UK.
We'll have flying cars by then.
Mm-hmm. We'll
have flying cars
exactly
by the time they start
October.
Shooting it.
October.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah. Hoverboards.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And then November in the United States. Here's my proposition, Matt Gourley. I'm going to throw this out here right now.
We go to England.
Yes.
Yeah,
we go to England and watch it opening weekend.
Oh, why don't we? Yeah. That
all
sounds
right.
Great.
Done. Craig, you in?
I can't be there. I'm busy.
I understand. Uh-huh.
So, Bond. It's Bond 25, right?
Yeah. No, 24.
24. 25 is he's still contractually obligated for 25,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Yeah. He being Daniel Craig. The James Bond movies, we have now experienced every James Bond.
Right.
Yep. We've seen Dalton. We've seen Brosnan. We've seen Craig. We've seen Craig Rowan. We've seen Sean Connery. We've seen George Lazenby, Roger Moore, of course. And now I think we can have the official discussion.
Who's the best? Do we put them in order?
Who's the best? Let's do a ranking of our Bonds. Now, Matt Gourley's taking this very seriously and writing it down.
Yeah.
I am not taking it nearly as seriously. Mm-hmm. We should have two separate lists for this.
Okay.
We should have our favorite and who the best is.
Ooh, interesting.
Well, mine are the same.
Really?
Yeah.
So your favorite, now I believe, if I remember correctly, just from our friendship, your favorite is Daniel Craig.
Yes.
Wow. Just giving it to the new guy.
Yeah. He's earned it. He's three in.
If
it were one or two, I might have to step back a little.
Yeah.
But I think he's wonderful. I think he's by far the best actor. His movies, pound for pound, are really good.
You think he's a better actor than Timothy Dalton? Acting wise,
yeah, I do, and I think Timothy Dalton's pretty good.
I think Timothy Dalton's a very good actor.
Yeah,
this is a real question. Daniel Craig? Do you feel he has the humor of the Bond?
No,
no, but I don't feel he needs that humor in his movies.
Mm-hmm.
If he were doing Roger Moore's movies, he wouldn't be that great in them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah, yeah.
My favorite,
because I feel like to me that's a key ingredient in James Bond.
Casino Royale, I thought his humor was spot on because the writing really fit him. It was a little tough in Skyfall because they were kind of going back to some one-liners and he didn't seem comfortable with them. And not like he couldn't do them, but I almost felt like there was something behind his eyes saying he didn't want to or something. You know? I got that feeling.
It's interesting, too, when you watch Craig, because I've been, you know, it's on Netflix right now, Skyfall, so it always shows up in my recently watched because I'll just watch 5 minutes of it pretty often. It's a click away, guys.
Oh, wait a minute. I want to say that I always put it on to test any of my home sound or TV equipment, and I would just like to say that I
you can't stop talking about this new television.
In the universal remote control world.
You finally got it!
My home is one button for any you want music, you want just one button is all you have to press. Ask me how many buttons.
So hang on, Matt. Let's say you want to watch a Blu-ray. How many buttons are you going to have?
One button.
What?
One button. And I'll put in Skyfall because it looks so beautiful and sounds so good.
Do you know what movie I test everything with?
What's your demo disc?
The Blu-ray of Apollo 13.
Ooh.
That launch sequence. Hmm. That's a good looking, good sign. Launch sequence. Craig, do you have an answer for this?
Air Bud. It's got every channel.
Every
audio
every
channel.
Every surround sound system in the world.
It's a feast for the ears and eyes.
No. So your favorite, you're going to say Daniel Craig number one for you. My number one,
I can guess.
Of the favorites.
We should try to guess each other's.
Boom. Okay, go ahead. Guess my favorite.
Well, your favorite is Roger Moore.
Correct.
Okay.
You are absolutely correct. Roger Moore is my favorite James Bond.
Wow.
Yeah.
Craig, do you have an answer?
I mean, yes, but again, it's as you said, it's favorite.
Yeah.
Not
this is favorite right
who's
now.
Who's the best?
Yeah.
Favorite. Okay.
You can guess.
I gotta say, your favorite is probably Connery.
Yeah, it is. But that's because those are the movies. I'm a casual James Bond fan.
Yeah, sure. Cash fan.
Cash F. Mm-hmm. And that's what I grew up on. You know, I watched those. Those were the ones my dad grew up on. So those are the
Craig
ones I grew up on.
Craig is 62.
Yeah.
62 years old. Or years young.
As he likes to say.
Uh-huh.
I'm spry.
All right, so here we go. We're going now. Number two on Matt's favorite list, Matt Gourley. I'm going to guess for you. Your number two favorite James Bond. It's got to be Roger Moore.
That's true.
Yeah.
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 That's correct.
Yeah. That's a good number two. I'm not going to lie. He should be number one.
Well,
I like a little wink. I like a little humor. I like a little suaveness.
Yours, I think, is between. Yours is tough. Your number two's tough.
Yeah, it is pretty tough, right?
I'm going to put a little faith in you. I'm going to say Daniel Craig.
You're wrong.
No, Connery?
Yes.
All right.
Sean Connery.
Who is your number one, Roger?
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore.
Craig, your number one. Your number one is Sean Connery. Your number two is Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's like, that's not true. It's not true. The thing is, like, it's not true, but it's also not true. Because those were the first ones I saw in the theater, so that's also where my brain goes. But I love Daniel Craig. I really very much enjoy Daniel Craig.
I think he's great. I think he's fantastic.
I think he's earned it.
But you also got to remember how, you know, we're looking at this, Matt. We're looking at this through different eyes. We're looking at this through the eyes of someone who was... The age you were when View to a Kill was out was the age I was when GoldenEye was out.
Are you about to make a case for Brosnan?
No, he's actually gonna show up shortly.
No,
he's gonna show up shortly on the list.
Okay.
But now for number three for you, this is interesting. I'm gonna have to say, due to your age and your soft spot for nostalgia and your love of new wave music, I'm going to put your number three at Timothy Dalton.
It's not it.
Can I make a guess?
Yeah.
George Lazenby.
No.
Wait, what? The process of elimination here.
Yeah.
Wow.
Are you forgetting someone?
Connery.
Yeah, Connery.
Oh my God. I completely had already thought you said Connery.
No,
because the only logical choices should have been Connery.
I love Connery. Don't get me wrong. Just because he's third. I mean, I think the Roger Moore nostalgia thing is trumping how I really do like Connery. Obviously, he's a classic. It's almost like you got to take him out of it, you know?
He set it up. It's like sort of when you have your favorite band discussion, you always have to remove the Beatles.
He's the gold standard.
Yeah.
He's the gold
it's
standard.
It's really not
he's
fair.
The gold finger standard.
He's the golden gun. Standard.
Yeah, I don't even know that I can say I really. I think Roger Moore may be a soft spot favorite, but I don't think he's a better Bond than Connery, really, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to the best in a second.
Okay.
Now, Craig,
I'm going to abstain from this one.
You're going to
abstain. I'm just going to abstain.
You're just going to abstain.
Three, they're all tied.
They're all tied.
I don't want to say who my third favorite.
They're all tied.
Yeah, I can't.
Here.
If you knew you would what's going on in my brain, you'd freak out who I think that next.
It's Woody Allen, isn't it?
It's Woody Allen. It's because the original Casino Royale. And I can't say because of what's been in the news recently.
Yeah,
but
I understand. I understand.
So now... One, two. We've done one, two, and now my third favorite James Bond
is. Well, it's gotta be now, Daniel. It's not Brosnan, is it? It's Brosnan.
No, Daniel Craig's better than Pierce Brosnan.
All right.
Daniel Craig's better than Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah.
Now here's the interesting part with you. I have to put Timothy Dalton ahead of George Lazenby and Pierce Brosnan.
For me?
Yeah.
You're correct.
Okay,
you've got my whole lineup figured out at this point.
And for me, I'm actually gonna throw Pierce Brosnan in next. Okay.
All right.
Which means that it's now between...
Well, you know what? I have to say, I don't even know that I could put him below Lazenby. I think I love that movie more than I may like
Lazenby. The movie's great. The movie's great. And George Lazenby does a fine job.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a tough one.
He's a good
that's
man.
That's a real tough one. This is tough.
I don't know about
this
that. But he does a fine job. But,
oh, Mike... Like, you know, the guests, Maria and Amanda, that were on
yeah,
the Casino
course.
Royale
Love
episode.
Them.
They're
ghost great.
Girls episode.
You're having sex with one of them?
Oh, jeez. you... No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. They were nominated for Ghost Girls for a Satellite Award.
Great.
Well,
it's very important.
Apparently, a Satellite Award is sort of a vanity thing put together by a couple that doesn't put a ton of money into it. Mm. And so they showed up. And a lot of things were, you know, House of Cards was nominated, Breaking Bad and everything. But the only discernible celebrities that were there were Courtney Love and George Lazenby.
Oh, boy.
And George Lazenby gave a speech. And he, with no segue, started talking about how he used to get laid on the set of Honor Majesty's Secret Service.
Awesome.
Like he does anytime
he
publicly
speaks.
Does
he speak about anything else?
No, that's just his bit. That's just his bit.
It's not,
that's like so they sent me video. In fact, let me see.
Oh my God.
Oh, please.
We are in for a treat. This is a James Bonding
exclusive.
Music Sting, Katie, thank you. I know you didn't put it in post, but we thank you for your effort to look like you were trying.
Yes, yeah.
We're gonna plug this in.
This is
oh boy. George Lazenby, here we go.
Yeah.
So he comes up. Are they already recording as he's walking up? Like, oh my God, I gotta get this
no,
to Matt.
No, I think he's already speaking.
Okay.
Let's see what we get. Wait, hold on.
90% chance going into Dr. No, and coming out, I had about 20. And I thought, geez, if ever I get a chance to play that guy, I'm gonna get it. I know what I'm saying, but it was all about getting laid. And then, I met a few actors on the job, Telly Savalas and Diana Rigg and all those people. They're all having a good time, so I decided to act a little longer. But I didn't want to do James Bond because hippies were in it. I'd go into a restaurant and they'd say, waiter, because I had short hair and a suit on, because I had to wear that gig. They were going to have bell bottoms and flowers and whatever. So I decided to grow a beard and get long hair and hope to get lost. I went sailing for 15 months, and I'm still an actor. I can't help it. I love it. And the business is more than I ever thought it was. I didn't know what acting was about until I spent 20 years in an acting class. And
what?
Finding out that, you know, the writer's really the real reason we look good. And anyway, forget that. Let me talk about this. The winner of the Satellite Award goes to Star Trek Into Darkness.
That's the best part. That's the best part. That was, he had already
the
opened
winner.
The envelope.
Of the Satellite War.
Yeah.
What was the category?
It was
writing, I think.
It was for the most tinny microphone.
But he's told that story about going to see Dr. No on a date, going, I think I had a 70% chance going in and a 20% going out. Because the girl's going to love Connery or something.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
That's great.
That's amazing and sad all at the same time.
I've seen him speak, I think, 3 times, and he's told that story. It's hilarious, and you got to love him for it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to. But...
No, you do. You do.
So let's bang out the rest of this list here.
All right.
Where are you putting... So for you, recap your list for me very quickly.
Favorites, Daniel Craig, yep. Roger Moore, Connery, Dalton, Lazenby, Brosnan.
Wow. Brosnan does nothing for you. Mm-mm. That's what you're saying here.
Were you when GoldenEye came out?
He was in
I'm
the prime of,
15.
Prime of
I'm
his
guess
fucking
15,
life.
16. You were 21. Angsty. You're rebelling.
21.
You
21.
Were rebelling against the system at
I
21.
Was, well,
21 years old. Prime of your life. You're out of college.
Fresh-faced
Matt
year
Gourley.
Did it come out?
95.
Oh, I was 22.
So listen, a year ago you started drinking.
Yeah.
You're on a bender.
Yeah.
You can't deal with this guy in the theater. You hate him. It's
more,
all about
more
the situation.
Like I had not been
you
drinking.
Abandoned. You abandoned him. You abandoned James Bond.
I
you didn't
did.
Just abandon Pierce
well,
Brosnan.
Well, I felt
you
it abandoned me. Because
whoa.
6 year gap, you can't handle that?
Well, I can handle that. It's when it came back, it slowly started. Everybody else was doing it better. We've been through this on the podcast.
I know.
I don't want
to
catch
something
hell
I
again.
Need to. I need to.
Okay,
need
I will
understand.
Say, like, after in a post Die Hard world.
I want you to set the table. I want to know about 22-year-old Matt Gourley.
All right.
Where are you living? Long Beach at that point?
I'm living in Long Beach.
Okay.
You're surfing every day.
You can't
long
stop.
Long grunge, what I think is grunge hair, but really because my hair grows in a weird way, it's more like Mary Tyler Moore hair.
Great.
Jackie Kennedy.
Scoops
it just
out.
Flips up
so
on the side.
So it's not just Mary Tyler Moore hair. Lightning, guys. It's a thunderstorm. Don't worry about
Whoa.
It.
Whoa.
That was huge.
Yeah, all right. Also could have been a transformer blowing up. It doesn't matter. We still have lights. The point is...
Jeez.
That was Michael Bay's transformer blowing up.
I have upset the Brosnan gods.
What if you made Pierce Brosnan mad and he somehow controls thunder? Okay, so we're going to set... So you're in Long Beach. You got grungy hair.
You're surfing every day.
It's not just Mary Tyler Moore hair. It's Laura Petrie hair.
All the other surfers are like, look at that hair.
No, because I'm straight up listening to the Cranberries and Gin Blossoms.
So you're in your Volkswagen Passat. I'm going to just say you're now a spokesman.
You're your Volkswagen.
At this point, I'm driving a maroon Honda Accord, oxidized roof.
Oxidized roof on the Honda Accord.
Little
they
Daffy
really
Duck
handle
head
the...
on the blinker thing.
You got that surfboard on the top. You're
nope,
just...
never had it. Never that cool.
So you're... Oh, my God. I kind of love this idea of finding out about 22-year-old Matt Gourley. Okay. All right. This podcast just became more fun for me.
I'm doing lots of theater.
You're doing lots of theater.
Playing.
You're doing... What are you doing? You're doing local presentations of Death of a Salesman?
Nope. Doing you... college productions of like As You Like It, of Mice and Men.
Yep.
Good doing
you
some summer Shakespeare
were
in Lake Tahoe.
Terrible Lenny. I just want to say that.
I was cast as George, the bad guy.
Oh.
Because I did comedy and the director was all real theater and he's like, well, you got something to hide. Let's put you in. And
Whoa.
Then they curled my hair.
Yeah.
Wow. And the other surfers were like, I don't like
this
that.
This guy's curling his hair now. He's not
I did have
us,
short
bro.
Hair.
How's
time?
He going to hang 10? So you're in, okay. So you're doing theater.
Yeah.
Theater. Is it fair to say, Matt Gourley, that theater is your first love?
No.
Okay.
Is it your second? Is it above George Lazenby or below?
No, I loved theater at the time, and I currently still teach theater.
Yeah, of course.
But more, you know, improv has always been my thing, and comedy and that sort of thing.
So
the Harold.
Back then, there was no. College improv, really. You just had to take theater. You
well,
know,
how'd you get into improv?
In high school, I did it in comedy sports in high school, mm-hmm. and then joined comedy sports.
Comedy
professional.
Hey, where was that? That was comedy.
Lucerna in Whittier, California.
Whoa,
yeah.
Now, this is interesting. Craig's a very good improviser. Yeah. He does a lot of nights at the UCB.
But I know a couple of people who do comedy sports. But does that still exist?
Yeah.
Or Charlie Sanders used to do that, and a lot of like UCB guys before. Like
right.
long form
took over.
Yeah. Yeah. But comedy sports just seems like that was the way to do it back
then. It
the
was
day.
Back then. Yeah. It really was. And some super, I mean, Dan Harmon, Rob Schraub came out of comedy sports around the same time I did. We mm-hmm. we know each other from that. And, you know, great improvisers like Chris Tallman. And there's, yeah. And then they all kind of, I think, eventually split off into other places. Nobody seemed to really stick
so
with it.
Christmas 1995.
Uh-huh. You're like, it's cold. It's too cold to surf.
I can't get my board. I can't get a good wax on my board. It's not setting correctly because of the temperature.
The brakes
outside.
Just aren't, you know.
It's just.
Come in.
95, I'm in my own, my first.
Your first
apartment by myself
in
where
Long
I live
Beach.
Alone.
You live alone.
Your first time ever living alone?
Uh-huh.
Of course you hate Pierce Brosnan.
No roommates.
It's a studio apartment in Naples, California.
What?
And it's tiny, but man, I worked on that thing and fixed it up.
Yeah, you got it.
Got
looking,
the
you
universal
got
remote set up right away.
Let me ask you this. You ever take a lady back there?
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
She liked it.
Yeah, well, I had a girlfriend
she
at the time, so that was easier than said.
How long was this girl in your life?
This was a long relationship on and off for 7 years.
Wow, that is a doozy.
Yeah.
That's a doozy of a relationship.
Yeah.
Starting in college?
Yep. Starting in 94, we met in Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yeah. I'm guessing you
in
played
the cigar.
Rosencrantz and she played Guildenstern.
That's correct. She was Juliet, but I was Mercutio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I like it a little different there.
Yeah,
did you get a little jealous every time she kissed Romeo? You're like, this fucking...
Yeah, you ever bite your finger at her? You know what I mean?
I wasn't too worried about Romeo.
Romeo was gay, is what we're saying. Yeah.
Whoa, that's an interesting theory. Did Shakespeare exist? We don't know.
We don't know. No one really has any evidence.
What we should be talking about.
No, this is. I fucking love now. Here's my new podcast idea. You're still listening to James Bonding, but Craig and I have an interview show right now, and we're interviewing Matt Gourley because Matt.
It's called. No. The show is just 1995, and we interview everybody about what their life was like in 95.
I love it.
That's
love
a great
it.
Idea.
When your little thread, when you've worked it out, you have to ask me about junior high, my Bond thing with junior high.
I will.
Okay. Well, that would be our 1990 podcast.
That's our 1995 podcast, which we don't record this week. It's alternating.
Okay. Right. I have a James Bond question for you guys, because I know you're going to be taking questions eventually.
Sure. Yeah.
I know that I'm not the host, but I'm just throwing this question out.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig, he's going to stop at some point.
Mm-hmm. He sure is.
Let's say 10 to 12 years from now.
Yeah.
There's a new Bond.
I think it'll be sooner than that, probably. Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. Whenever it is, who's the right guy for the job?
We get that.
That's the thing. We get this question a lot, and it's so hard to say because they tend to. It depends on what age they want him to be.
Yeah.
This is kind of a big question. Like, you know, perpetually you think of James Bond, or at least I do, as a guy between 38 and 50.
Yeah.
That's sort of where you think James Bond is. Now. What they did, you know, with Roger Moore, he was already, like, you know,
45
years old when he took over the role. Timothy Dalton was probably 40 when he took over, right?
I would think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, his hair looked it.
Daniel Craig was 38, I think.
Yeah, so you got to look. It's kind of like the question of who's going to be the next Doctor, because they're both Time Lords. But the thing about it is, it's probably someone we don't know the name of yet.
Yeah, as well it should be, or else they'll be too old. Yeah.
That's kind of sort of the way that I think.
Shia LaBeouf. That's the only person I think could do it. That's the only person I think could do it. And that's why I brought up the question. I just want to throw his name into that.
King of the beef. Shia LaBeouf. But yeah,
I saw GoldenEye with my girlfriend.
Wait, hang on. We haven't gotten to the story yet.
Sorry.
We're still setting you up. Okay. We're still learning about Naples.
We're still getting that surf.
We want to learn about 1995.
All right.
So,
Weezer's self-titled album came out about a year before.
And I'm learning the blue album.
You're learning to play.
You're playing Say It Ain't So.
You're just there.
I'm
just
playing
jamming
the sweater
on
song.
Sweater song. Of course you're playing
the
sweater song. It's the easiest one.
Yeah.
By the way, Katie, you missed it. Craig and I have just started a new podcast called 1990 High Five. Where we talk to our guests about what they were doing in 1995. So it's still going to be released under the James Bonding moniker, but right now we're interviewing Matt Gourley about 1995.
Okay.
So Naples.
Mm-hmm.
What goes on there? Surf town?
Naples is a part
of
inland. Long Beach.
Yeah, it is.
It's like Venice if Venice were really nice. And I'm not saying I lived in a nice area, but I did. But the only way I could was I lived in an apartment about the size of this studio.
Huge.
Yeah, I mean, the studio is massive. We get a lot
There's
of comments
a
on
room.
It. It echoes a lot. It's a weird thing. Katie does an amazing job eliminating the echo because of how cavernous the space is.
It's so big, there is no... There
My
can't be.
Shower had a window that was painted... And when you opened the window, it opened into the
courtyard?
Inside of a wall. Like it just
like a hallway?
Like maybe what once was an elevator shaft or a dumbwaiter shaft or something. It made no sense. It was part of a larger building. But Naples is beautiful. And
would your parents call you and say, Matt, we're worried about you. We haven't seen you in like two weeks.
No, because I grew up in Whittier and was in school in Long Beach, so I could drive home at any time.
And you did, often. Now we're learning a lot.
Relatively often, yeah.
How often would you go home? Would you say, Mom, Dad, I got to do some laundry?
No, I would do that on my own, I think.
Yep.
Did you have the laundry in the building? Did you walk? How'd you get to the laundry place?
It was nearby. I think I would drive.
I knew it. You did. You said that before we started this podcast.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe I did take it home a little bit. Sure.
Favorite place to grab some grub?
Ooh,
you grab it. You go right to the beach.
Like,
you happen to surf.
Ooh, gotta do this.
It would have to be Taco Surf.
Is this the name of a place?
Yeah, I was a regular there for many years.
You were on the reg.
I could like the only time in my life I've ever been a place where they know my name. You know,
that was your cheers.
Yeah, that in another bar. Oh God, there's another Bond story where I went after a bad breakup. I went once a month. I think I've told this story to this Irish bar, and I would read a Bond novel, have a corned beef sandwich, a deep-fried Snickers bar, and a Guinness every day for a month. I took off all work and then went home and watched a Bond movie.
Whoa, you never told this story.
Yeah.
You're talking every day for a month?
Yeah. How the fuck aren't you dead?
What job did you have that you could do that?
I was the CEO
of a Fortune 500.
Break. And this is what I was going to do. I was going to wake. The whole thing was I'm going to give myself a month with no commitments or no anything. And
okay.
So, hang on. Yeah.
We're going to take this back a little bit further. Is this the 7 years? Is this relationship ends? Okay.
No.
So now you're older.
Yeah.
This happens later in your life.
This is like 2006.
2006. This is fairly recent.
Uh-huh. 8 years ago to the day.
It's about this time of year.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know.
Okay, so it's 2006.
Uh-huh.
Matt Gourley, you're at this point you're living in Los Angeles?
No,
Still in Long Beach.
I'm in Belmont Shore, right?
Still chasing that surf.
A log cabin right on the water.
Log cabin right on the water. Is this a place when you're living here?
Yeah.
Right. Is this when you'd make your commute to Disneyland?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And I was teaching at Riverside City College.
So teaching theater at Riverside Community College.
Yeah.
Driving, taking the commute from Long Beach to Anaheim.
Yeah.
And Riverside.
That's a lot of driving.
Wait,
right?
So
how's your Honda Civic holding up at this point?
At this point, I'm driving a black Saturn View.
Ooh, Saturn V-U-E. That's a van, everybody.
Yeah.
I had a scale.
No, it's not a van.
It's kind of a van. It's kind of a van.
No, it's like
it was their sport ute. It looked like a Honda CRV, but made by Saturn.
It's the most minivan a sport utility vehicle could look.
Yeah, and it's kind of why Saturn no longer exists.
Maybe.
Wait, how much
good car though? Good
how
car.
Much weight did you gain in a month? Where you ate?
We're not there yet.
I need
Craig.
To know.
It's here funny comes. You should say that though.
We just saw the lightning.
I supposedly hit the ground right on.
Cool.
Oh, my God.
What, did he run in here to tell us?
No, he was on his way in.
Oh, wow.
I was so bummed out from this breakup that I weighed 123 pounds. And so I...
So that was your... You did that for your health.
In a sense, because I was also, for the first time in my life, just going to the gym. And so I was just trying to put weight back on.
Yeah. What are you running in at?
155.
What do you bench?
I was going to say 160.
155.
Oh, yeah.
No, you bench your own weight.
No, I don't.
You're like an eighth of an ant.
I can one hand push myself up perfectly.
Oh, that's good. No. That's perfect.
Jack Palance.
Jack Palance can do that. We've seen it. We've been to the Oscars.
He can't anymore.
Well, we don't know.
Cosmically.
He keeps the earth moving. He's just constantly pushing it as a ghost. Okay, so... This girl, how long are you in a relationship with this girl for?
About 7 years off.
7 years. So you do these 7 year relationships.
Well, at the time.
On the reg.
Lucky
seven.
Well,
they were really off and on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really off and on. Okay. Here we go.
I don't know. I think we got to do some Bond stuff.
Yeah, we're getting there.
It's all will tie up.
What is an off and on relationship to a Matt to a younger Matt Gourley?
That's the problem. It's
a
younger Matt Gourley, and I wouldn't wish
a
younger Matt Gourley on anybody.
Okay. Are you taking the blame for this? Because I feel like it might be some her fault.
No, I'll take the blame.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why? What was wrong with you?
Why don't you say to me as if I'm her what happened?
Please, Craig, do the voice.
Come on. What's happening?
Annabelle?
He's been practicing. He knew. Oh my God! That's me. It's a little Mario right there.
That's Annabelle.
Angelica.
So off and what is an off and on relationship like for you for
well,
7 years? How do you sustain off and on for 7 years?
I don't want to talk about this,
Matt.
Say it in terms of James Bond.
Well, let's just say that I had the non-committal lifestyle of James Bond. I was never not virtuous or anything, but I didn't want to be in a committed relationship.
So you had a fear of commitment.
It wasn't a fear. I just didn't want to.
You were terrified of commitment.
I wanted to be also...
committed. Because your second lady was Disneyland.
Yeah, that's right. I was so committed to doing improv at Disney that... oh, boy.
Take us through a little bit. Just for Craig's purposes, I keep seeing a Jawa, and there's a life-size or Jawa-sized Jawa. To the left of the studio window, and you look to your left, and you just out of the glimpse of your eye, you fear for your droid's safety immediately.
Yeah.
So okay, let's take us through for Craig's benefit,
please.
And also, I just love a refresher course on your Disneyland time.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is my favorite podcast we've ever done.
Okay, let me tell you that the job I had there first was the best job I'll ever have in my life, because when they opened California Adventure, they had this restaurant called the ABC Soap Opera Bistro.
You worked at the ABC yes. Soap Opera Bistro? Yes. Oh, yeah. My God. I tell everybody who goes to California Adventure with me, I point at what is now the Disney Toontown, yeah. Whatever the fuck. It's like the Disney... Oh, it's the Disney Junior...
Yeah, Blues Clues or
theater.
Some shit. Yeah.
So it's just this thing now. It's uh-huh. just this, like, take kids in there and they'll get to meet Handy Manny.
Right.
But I always point at it and I say, do you know what that was when this place opened? And I will now explain it to you. ABC, the network, parent company Disney.
Whoa.
Very popular for their soap operas.
Sure. As the World Turns, Life After Death.
No, One Life
Jimmy
to Live, General
Corners.
Hospital, and All My Children.
Yeah.
Those were the ABC soap operas, okay? I know them well. My mother was an ABC soap fan.
Uh-huh.
She still watches them on the app. So they had a restaurant. You'd go in, you'd have dinner.
Yeah.
But while you're having dinner,
uh-oh,
some drama's going to happen.
Yeah. Oh, that's
some
great.
Soap opera yeah. drama is going to be developing around you.
Yeah.
And now what you're telling me, Matt, and I wasn't aware of this, you were one of the actors
yes.
involved in
yes.
the soap opera drama.
And so this job was a union job, and
oh,
you'd work
wow.
about 10 minutes on the hour dressed in comfy doctor scrubs. I was working with Aaron Hayes from Children's Hospital.
Of course, yeah.
It was so many great people, and we just... And you'd go in and they'd go, all right, I know your shift starts at 10 a.m., but we're not opening the restaurant till 5, so just go ride some rides for a while or whatever. It was the best.
And now this is California Adventure when it opened. Craig, I'm addressing everything.
1988.
No, opened in 2000.
One. 2001.
Close enough.
January. Of
January 2001. So it had 9 months before everyone got scared of going to theme parks.
Yeah, and it wasn't doing so well.
And it wasn't doing so well
that.
Then.
Yeah.
California Adventure had a severe attendance problem.
Yeah.
Like, they opened it up, and they're like, we're going to get 100,000 people in here, or 90,000 people a day. And it ended up being something like 19,000 people a day.
That's, like, not as much.
No, not nearly as much. So what would happen is there are videos, and I encourage anybody who's...
Craig represents the everyman listening to this podcast.
Yeah, I'm on your side, guys.
Incredulity.
There are some fun little videos you can watch on YouTube of people taking vacation videos in California Adventure, and it looks like they're in an abandoned amusement
well,
park.
Well, why don't you just YouTube up the Superstar Limo ride, because that was a...
disaster.
Like, it was like a Fantasyland ride where you just go through one of those swirling car
yep.
tracks, but it was supposed to be that... You just arrive at the airport into Hollywood and you're due for your big break
yeah.
and your agent's trying to get you there. And then they license the likeness of a bunch of Hollywood
Drew
celebrities.
Carey.
Drew Carey.
Joan Rivers.
Whoopi Goldberg, who has like rope hair.
Yeah.
And the best part was they had Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman. And right when the ride opened, they broke up. So they switched their heads with Melanie Griffith and Antonio Banderas.
The hottest yes. couple there is.
And the best part was when you get to the end, like a roller coaster, they take your picture, but instead of like, woo, this is great, you have this look of what the fuck was that on everybody's face. And
it is Mulholland Madness. Wasn't that part of it, or was that what it was called? Or no, they named a roller coaster,
yeah,
right?
one of the kid coasters.
Can I say that I like that you call them Tom and Nicole?
But
well, when you worked at Disneyland with them, I worked with them.
Yeah. A testament yeah. to them, we knew who he was talking about.
I yeah. honestly didn't. I'm the everyman.
Sorry.
That's right. Again, you're everyman.
Thank you for being here.
But now, here's the other thing you didn't explain about this.
Yeah.
These were puppets. These
yeah.
were animatronic
like
puppets that looked like
caricature.
The Phil Collins Genesis
right.
Oh,
puppets.
My God.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was just weird.
They didn't look anything. It was insane.
Google it.
Take a look at that ride and just marvel at
Google
it.
Google it. Bing it.
So were you always a doctor at this ride?
Well, doctor was the coveted costume because it was the most comfortable and easy to get into. The other options were millionaire, where you'd wear a smoking jacket and ascot.
Why is that not the most coveted?
Well, that one was fine. It made sense. But the other one for the guys, for some reason, was a cop, but like a 1920s royal blue kind of, hey, what you doing? Yeah, shillelagh. So I was always a doctor.
Shillelagh.
The people I would work with, Aaron every weekend, and another guy named Ken Parks, who was great, and we just didn't care that everybody's supposed to be something different. All three of us would be doctors and just...
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah,
doctors
exactly.
would have drama with each
yeah.
other.
Yeah.
So then I did this improv show that was a lot like Whose Line Is It Anyway on this stage out there called the Department of Untapped Hilarity. Duh.
Okay.
Wow.
And then my last thing I did there. Well, I did the bluegrass Billy Hill and the Hillbilly show a little bit, and then I did this laughingstock cowboy sketch show, and then I did Push the Talking Trash Can. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes, I'm familiar with Push the Talking Trash Can.
That was a great job too, because you would just
were you in control of Push?
Uh huh.
So you also got to drive him as well as speak for Push.
Yeah, it was just like a regular metal trash can that you would hide in the crowd with your hand in a bag with a remote control in there, and it would move this robotic trash can that looks just like a normal trash can, and then just talk into your hand, and it would put your voice to the trash can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what was it called again?
Push the Talking Trash Can.
Why was it called Push?
Because that's the name. Like, you got to push on the door. It says push on it.
Yeah. I'm into it.
He's the everyman. Yeah.
And also, you could throw trash in it.
What does the word push mean?
It's based on the novel by Sapphire.
Okay.
Empujo.
This is interesting. Yeah. This is a fun little let's get to know Matt Gourley situation right
now. And so now you know that Amanda and I, we sold a show to Fox based on our time at Disney because she was a princess there.
Whoa.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
And so what's the name of it?
It's called Wonderland. It's as if that's basically Disneyland.
Yeah.
If Disneyland didn't exist.
I'm buying it.
It's already purchased.
No.
Fox owns it.
How much would it take to get that off of their hands?
Well, they gave us $23.
I'll give you $23.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll break even.
You're going to break even. It's perfect. Now, this is 2006.
Six.
2006 is the year you're doing this. This is interesting because 2006, isn't that also the year Casino Royale comes out?
Yes.
That is very interesting.
So when I'm reading these Bond novels, it's the first time I've ever read Casino Royale, and it was right around that time that they announced Daniel Craig, and I was the only person I knew going, this is perfect. This guy's great. He suits this novel so well. We're coming off these Brosnans, which I wasn't a fan.
Yeah.
And I was in.
So you got a Guinness. You got
every
a
day.
Fried Snickers bar.
Deep fried Snickers bar.
After the corned beef sandwich.
After the corned beef sandwich. And it's slathered in coffee ice cream.
Would you always have corned beef sandwich or would you get corned beef and cabbage?
No, I just went full autism spectrum and just went, give me the same thing every day. I want no change in
And at one point, at what point did the staff of the restaurant become concerned?
They were enablers at, you know...
Do they love seeing you?
Yeah, I mean, I just had... I knew the bartender there. She was a great woman, and we just... This is also the time when we started Super Ego, so everything was... My life was coming back together.
It culminated.
Yeah.
Culminated in the very, very fine podcast Super Ego.
Yeah.
Which I've never been asked to do. So
we haven't recorded since I've known you.
That's fair. So, 2006, you have a bad breakup, and then you discover the novels of Ian Fleming.
Yes.
Here's
how it started, because of the breakup, I'm going, I'm going to read every Shakespeare play. Within days, I'm going to watch every Bond movie.
That is the better way to go about it.
It really is.
And at the time, the DVDs were out of print. So there were certain Bond movies I couldn't get at Blockbuster, and I had a student bring me some. I had to watch a couple on VHS.
Isn't that sort of crossing the line?
Did you fuck the student?
No.
Have you ever?
No.
Did you fuck the DVDs?
It's college. You can do that.
Well, I'm
it's college. Can't you do that?
No.
It's community college. Can't you do that? Hang on.
No.
Why? That you're adults. You're both adults.
I'm absolving myself from this.
Yeah,
game.
I'm out
okay.
of here.
Yeah. You're both leaving the conversation?
Yeah.
We're
Katie?
Gonna...
Katie.
What?
Question.
Yes.
Get on this microphone for 1 second. You guys, hang tight. I'm going to talk to Katie for a second.
I'm not even in the room anymore.
Okay. It's great. It's great. James
Katie, welcome.
Podcast.
Welcome to 1995. High five.
1990, high
2006.
Five.
Yep.
Okay. Now don't influence her answer here.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you think it is okay for a college professor to hook up with a college student?
I don't know. It depends. What year is the college student?
Let's say they're 18.
Oh.
Freshman year.
How old's the professor?
Matt was
say
he's 28.
Time, I would have been.
38.
33.
32. 33.
No, 33.
Yeah. All right. But under 35.
35.
Young, handsome, strapping, looking at 150 pounds of fury.
Wait, is that right? No, I'm 27.
That's
no,
right.
wait. What?
I was correct. You were 20. Oh, no. You were
33.
Yeah. Okay, 33. Larry Bird's number. All right.
Jesus. One behind Nolan Ryan.
Basketball
year,
Jesus died.
Yeah.
Basketball Jesus. Larry Bird. So you're 33 years old, 18 years old. What do you think?
I think that's a big age difference.
It's not that big, but
I would feel weird.
You're saying no.
I think it'd be a little weird, yeah.
Well, here's the thing,
maturity
too.
Levels are so different.
And the bigger deal to me is it's one thing if you find an 18-year-old that you somehow magically relate to or something, which I don't think is going to happen, but while you're teaching that class, that's not a good idea.
Yeah, no.
That's not a good idea.
That's bad.
It's not a good idea, but it's not illegal.
It's not illegal.
But the college bylaws.
No, some schools.
What? Frowned upon.
Yeah. I know teachers that have.
Ooh.
Yeah, well, you always hear about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say no.
Where'd you go to college?
Cal State Monterey Bay.
That's
what were you doing? Marine biology?
No, I was doing film. Those are like film and marine biology. They're two big ones, though.
Where were you in 1995?
I was 10 years old. I was in
Cal State Monterey Bay,
California.
1995.
One year after the Weezer blew out.
Katie's there, setting the stage for you. Kurt Cobain already dead for almost a year.
My sister already had both of those posters up. It was like him. Mm-hmm. Older than him. The baby picture.
What about the one? What about the one that is the diner at night and it's got Jimi Hendrix?
Boom, Marilyn Manson.
Dreams, right? Isn't that Boulevard of Broken Dreams?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it is.
Is that Hopper?
She should have had that.
She
I could have got
a
Posters Plus in the mall. So 1995, you're 10 years old. At 10 year old, Katie Levine, what is your favorite movie at 10 years old?
Oh God,
GoldenEye.
At 10.
10 years old. What do you like? I'm going to put this back in the VHS player. I'm going to hit play again. I hope this
Jurassic
tape doesn't
Park.
Wear out. Ah, oh, good
Classic.
Answer.
Absolutely.
Classics.
Good answer.
Well, now this may give you some insight on things.
Yeah.
Why
hated Jurassic Park.
I was blown away by the effects and everything, but still, at that age, you're just predisposed to walk out going like, that was
what
really
the
shitty.
Fuck is your problem?
No.
I am reconsidering all
watch
of
it.
This.
Hold on. Watch it again. That movie starts with a paleontologist telling other paleontologists about how dinosaurs might be related to birds. You would presume that they would have known.
No.
It's all there for bad exposition for the audience. Yes.
That is, at that point, let's go back in time. We're in 1995.
Now, the Blue Album
podcast.
Came out 1 year before.
This has been known since at least the 70s, all this stuff.
This theory has been proposed. It was not the most popular theory.
But in the 90s, this was purely for the common man. Craig, back me up on this. You're the
common
man.
Listen.
However, here's what I'll say
it's
to you.
It's not a well-written
Here's what I will say to
movie.
You.
Yeah.
He's explaining this to a shitty 10-year-old kid.
They use it for that, but there's other scientists that don't believe him, you know, that are like, what? I can't even
Because there's some
this.
Old school teaching in there.
It's just lazy screenwriting.
They did know then, back then?
Yes, they've known for years.
But was it common knowledge?
Yeah. For us, certainly.
Listen,
it wasn't the most popular in the field.
Yeah.
He wasn't talking to the 10-year-old about that. He's just talking to the 10-year-old about, like,
lashing him with
He's talking
to Ellie Statler.
Right.
Who is a paleobotanist? Okay,
not a
paleontologist.
I like the movie too. Don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's worth.
I'm reconsidering everything right now.
But let's say also I'm not necessarily right. I just want people to acknowledge that there is this black hole of 5 years in your 20s where you just don't like things. You know,
I liked everything in my 20s.
Really? You didn't go through one of those periods.
Flash flood warning, guys.
Wow.
You've never seen that?
Never
we get that a lot.
Alert.
We get that every time it rains in Los Angeles, there's a flash flood warning.
Can I just say you should host your other podcast, Jurassic Snark? I'm just going to say it.
Okay. So, 1995. Katie's enjoying Jurassic Park.
Uh-huh.
Very, very good thing to enjoy at that point.
You know what's crazy, though? I'm going to go home and we bought the 3D version of that movie and we're going to watch that tonight.
Fuck yeah.
That's a great way to spend a Friday night. Especially in the rain.
It's my rainy day movie.
That's why I love rain. Yeah.
That's
I'm not saying I don't like the movie. I'm just saying it's not a
You're just saying, movie. What you're saying is you were a shitty person. In your 20s.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
You were just like, fuck everything.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to hit the waves.
I'm going to hit the waves. I'm just going to surf. I'm just going to surf my troubles away.
I want my hair to do a tube like the waves do.
Yeah. You know what I love? I love when I get my hair in salt water and I come out and it dries and it feels that weird texture. I wish there was a product that could put in my hair that would do that.
But then when I take a shower, there's that extra sand in the under part of the bathing suit.
What's happening?
This episode isn't going up, is it?
Yes, it is.
No, come on.
Fuck yes, it is.
This is useless.
This is our favorite. separate episode.
No.
This Matt,
this is
Matt,
useless.
Matthew Gourley. We are putting this episode up.
I under protest. Put it out on Maximum Fun.
Maximum Fun. we'll be at Max FunCon. Just kidding. All right. Thank you, Katie, for joining us.
Thank you,
Katie.
You're welcome. 1990 high-fiving. It's been a pleasure having you on this podcast. We're now going to revert to our regularly scheduled James Bond.
Wait, I have to tell you this thing about when I was in junior high. I was so into
James Bond. Hang on.
What?
That's our other podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
Called 1980 Heaven.
Oh.
Oh. And Matt, Craig and I are hosts of that as well.
Okay.
And we'll welcome you onto that right now. Welcome to 1980 Heaven.
Hi.
Hi. Where we're talking to Matt Gourley about what it was like in junior high, which was, what year was that?
I don't remember.
So that'd be what, a couple years after View to a Kill or right around View to a Kill?
Yeah, probably 87, maybe.
Welcome to 1980 86? Heaven. That's exactly right. We nailed it. Craig, thanks for being here on your podcast, you co-host.
Yep, that's me.
Let's talk to you about 1987.
So my mom got remarried, and it's the first time I'd ever been in a suit. And so I strapped a gun in a shoulder holster underneath it. And was in the wedding with a little gun in a shoulder holster inside my suit.
What?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, this... I
was in sixth grade.
It's not awesome.
It wasn't a real
gun. It's not a real gun. No, it was like one of those mini metallic cap guns.
No, of course it was. Yeah, of course it was.
So now, this is 7 years before the Blue Album came out.
Yeah.
Just to give you a little bit of perspective.
A little perspective. Weezer's Blue Album, probably just a glint in Rivers Cuomo's eyes. You know, we're not there yet. He's not really forming ideas. Maybe he's got a little bit of a guitar part for Undone, the Sweater Song. Maybe that's working out.
He's still working about Holiday.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So you put a where did you get a shoulder holster?
It was actually a leather case for a Swiss Army knife that I had a little cap gun that fit in it so well. And then I took an elastic boot lace and tied it around my chest.
What the fuck? Sixth grade? I'm trying to think if I would do something like that in sixth grade. I might.
I also missed my eighth grade graduation to stay home and figure out how electronic squib blood packs worked.
What?
And I did.
When did you get a girlfriend?
Well, that's the thing, is that it wasn't like I was...
You were doing okay?
I did okay in junior high, especially. I did okay. There was a real
especially?
Spot. Well, there was a real spot in high school where I didn't grow at the rest of the rate. So I stayed about 5 feet while everybody else grew a foot or so.
Yeah.
And there was a real dry spell there.
Wow.
I was just a little guy. But I had
You're
fun.
Pushing 6 feet now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Craig, do you have any thoughts on 1980 Heaven?
Was Empty Nest on at that time?
It probably
of
was.
Course,
I like
of course.
That show.
Golden Girls, were you a big Golden Girls fan at that time? What's Matt Gourley, I'm going to say 1987 Matt Gourley's favorite television program is
Robotech.
Cheers. Robotech.
I don't know what that is.
Robotech was a... Was it on CBS?
No, it was syndicated. So it was like here, it was like, you know, 11 or 13 or something. It was like a
I haven't heard Robotech.
Oh, I love it.
In so many years.
It was the first serialized cartoon where people would die. And
yeah.
I just
and then
like,
shit would happen because that would affect you the next week.
Do you see why I got snobby? Because even my young cartoons were like adult, adult issues, you know.
1987, 2 years after Back to the Future comes out.
Boom.
Were you a big fan
Of Back to the Future?
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it, but I wasn't a crazy fan.
I didn't.
But I was also I was reading those original black and white Ninja Turtles and then collecting like Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen.
So you'll never be on our podcast Laugh to the Future.
Yeah, because that is a real podcast.
I will.
Laugh to the Future, where we improvise scenes. We don't know which character we are when we start the podcast.
And it's just in the world of Back to the Future.
Yeah,
it
and we just have to like sort of figure out what's happening. You know,
yeah.
You might get Jules. He might get Vern, and then I'm like, maybe I'm Doc Brown, and then I got to take my kids. Where am I taking them? You know, where am I taking them? I don't know.
Wait,
we'll figure it out.
Okay,
and the audience will send us suggestions. welcome back to James Bonding, everybody.
Holy shit.
I can't wait for you to not like this podcast and then tell us about it. It's fine.
Well, let's say one thing about that.
Yeah.
Some people wrote on Twitter when last episode we said, hey, back off when we do new episodes. And people were like, hey, sorry for your liking the show. And I would like to specifically say that that's not the problem. We really appreciate that. There was just a few really vocal people that were saying some really strange, weird, and mean things. And so if we didn't clarify that, that was meant towards those outliers. Please, thank you for listening.
Yeah,
and,
this is not for the outliers.
This I know is who you're for, talking.
This is for the tipping point. This is the other Malcolm Gladwell book.
This is for the people that have 10,000 hours of James Bond listening experience.
That's correct. Okay, here we go. Here's some James Bonding questions. Craig, this is addressed to you as well. They're all addressed to all three of us. Here we go. If you could make your own Bond film using only prior characters and actors, what would it be? This is an excellent question. This is coming to us from Linus Sanderson, whose Twitter handle is @angry_mime, M-I-M-E.
So you pick your favorite Moneypenny, favorite M, favorite Bond. All right.
Yeah.
Wow.
So here's what I'm doing. Ready?
Yeah.
Lois Maxwell is my Moneypenny.
Yeah, I think she's
she's always going to be my Moneypenny.
Yeah, same here.
You know who I'd like to see her interact with? That blonde fella, Daniel Craig.
Oh, damn. I'm in. This is where I was heading.
All right.
I bet you they're all the same.
Bernard Lee is our M.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The original M, he's M.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's just how it's going to be.
Q as well.
Q, of course. Yeah. Desmond Llewellyn. Mm-hmm. Desmond Llewellyn. What year Desmond Llewellyn? This is where we might differ.
I love young Desmond Llewellyn.
I am a huge fan of old Desmond Llewellyn.
Yeah, well, I like him too. I mean, cue card reading Desmond Llewellyn. Shaky hands.
Cue card
Desmond.
Reading. Shaky hand.
Bruised thumbnail Desmond Llewellyn. There's one of them where he says
that's the worst.
He probably like had just closed it in an Aston Martin's door.
That's so evocative. Like that. Like you know that.
The image that happens. Here's my question to you. Have we just dropped Daniel Craig into Goldfinger?
Basically. I'm trying to think what villain.
Not if you add Jaws into it.
Mm.
Yeah. What villain and henchman and Bond girl are you going to put in there? I'll do Vesper Lynd.
Vesper Lynd, of course.
Yeah.
We're just seeing Daniel Craig and Vesper Lynd again.
That's all right. I could use more of that.
Villain, I'm going to go...
Oh! I was last night when I was at the review premiere. Mads Mikkelsen walked right by me. Lashif.
Did you say anything to him?
No, he was wearing a hat and he was with about 30 family members that looked exactly like him, women and children.
What the fuck were they doing at Andy Daly's party?
Well, it was at the Sky Bar at the Hotel Mondrian.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Do you know who's on the Nerdist podcast next week?
Who?
Eva Green.
What?
Yeah. Vesper Lynd.
You're just telling me this now?
Yeah, it just got scheduled like yesterday. But it's happening.
Don't you need me to be the not only do I want to be there, but I need you guys all to leave.
here's the fun part about that. It's being recorded on a Wednesday. Oh no, on a Tuesday at 1 p.m. I will not be able to make it.
Oh, don't they need me to sit in your stead?
They should have a Matt, right?
Not only that, but a Matt who can talk Bond.
Yeah.
And a Matt who can be real creepy.
Yeah. Oh, you're nailing all my own traits and you're fitting them perfectly. So that's pretty exciting stuff. She'll be on the Nerdist podcast.
Oh, my God.
But we do need to pick a villain, and I'm going to have to say the villain I would pick is probably
This is a tough one. I got a few.
Oh, this is good. Oh, done. I've done it. Ready?
Yeah.
It's Robert Shaw's character.
I was going to pick him, but he's a henchman.
Yeah, but he's really the main.
Yeah.
He's really the main.
I think you can, if you want, get more bang for your buck. You can put him in the henchman category or the main villain category.
All right, let's make him the henchman. Let's make him. Okay, so.
Because I'm thinking Christopher Walken, maybe.
Really? Zorin?
Yeah, I love Zorin.
He's going Zorin from A View to a Kill, and I'm going to have to disagree with him on this. This is where we depart.
Okay.
And I'm going to go ahead and...
Oh, well, Kananga's good, too. I like
Kananga's great. Kananga's great.
Christopher Lee Scaramanga's good.
Kananga's great, though.
Yeah.
Kananga it is. Let's put Kananga in there.
Kananga.
Okay. Kananga. Kananga? Kananga?
I also really like Lashif. I thought that guy was great.
Lashif's excellent.
Yeah.
But we can't have Vesper Lynn, Daniel Craig, and Lashif. Because we've just made Casino Royale and just replaced the M in the Money Penny.
I'm into it.
Okay. Well, that's our answer.
Either way.
And I'm just going to do the plot of True Lies. Okay. this comes in to us from Ben Reinert. Ben asks, is at Ben5Reinart, at Ben15Reinart asks us, which Bond has the best chest hair? There is only one answer for this, and his name is Sean Connery.
Sean Connery.
Yeah.
I'd love to rub my hand through that.
Yeah, that thatch.
Oof. Can you imagine somebody gets to do that? Him.
Yeah.
Leanne Olson. All right. I'm gonna favorite. If your tweet got favorited by me, it meant that we asked your question on the air. Grew up with Moore and have never been able to watch a whole Dalton. I'm 40. Do I have to? Leanne, no. You don't have to watch Timothy Dalton.
I think you should do Living Daylights and then see what you think.
I do. In my brain, my remembering of the movies, Living Daylights, I enjoy as a film.
I think that's a really good Bond film with a bad ending.
You can do it with another activity going on. Mm. You know, at least License to Kill.
Yeah.
If you're cooking a dinner and you have it on the background, that's a good movie for
you. Yeah, if you're turning cocaine into gasoline, you can just have it
which
on the background.
Which is definitely something that really
cocaine
exists.
Cocaine into gasoline. Fuck the plot of that movie. Grumpy Humbug asks, which movie had the best cinematography, which we've already discussed? And the answer, of course, is, I guess. This comes to us from Kyle, KJ Weasel.
Yeah, the Wheeze. 97.4, the Wheeze.
Wes Anderson recently said he wanted to do a Bond movie. Is that something you'd want to see?
Do a short.
Yeah.
Do a Bond short.
Do one of those 10-minute iTunes movies.
Hey, man.
Love
I'm
it.
There.
Love it. Yeah. Craig, good answer.
Yeah.
Matt, thanks for agreeing
with
Craig.
Well, there's no reason to think he couldn't do it. He obviously couldn't do it in the style he does it in, but I've never seen him do a movie that isn't in that style, so it'd be interesting.
Here's one from James Leach. Yes. In a real-life crisis, would you want the assistance of Bond or Jason Bourne? And if Bond, which one?
In a real-life crisis? So like a real life that actually happens to you? Like
oh my God, this girl broke up with me and I'm constantly eating this sandwich and
because in that case,
well, I don't see how I need any help. I think I'm doing pretty well.
What does that mean?
It's like, shit, we went shopping, but we forgot the limes.
Okay, so, well, I'll put it like this.
I think
we're in a hostage
situation
in a bank. Who do we want to be there? James Bond.
I think I'll take Daniel Craig's James Bond.
But here's the thing. Bourne is one of those guys where no matter what situation, it's locked in his brain. He can get you out. He can always kick through a door and immediately figure out what the next thing is.
Yeah, but we might not know what he just did because we can't see anything he's doing.
I think it
ever.
Also depends more on who's writing the movie that we're in.
This is a real life situation.
Oh, sorry.
Favorite casino wing. This comes to us with Kyle Veazey.
A lot of Kyles.
Yeah. At Odalay 77, Odalay 77 on Twitter, he asks us favorite casino scene. Good question.
Yeah, good
because
question.
There is a lot of there's a lot of baccarat.
Well, that
there's a lot of poker.
That Connery first line is great. Just that's the best introduction you'll ever see.
Yes,
but I love the game
Indian
casino.
Yeah,
what
the Indian casino. I mean, the actual in India. Indian.
The backgammon?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
I enjoy the backgammon game in Octopussy.
And I like the one where he orders a drink.
Here's a question that Craig asked me in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Because we do talk about this for some reason. It comes up. He asked me, are all martinis now shaken for the most part because of James Bond?
Because he says shaken, not stirred, but I've never ordered a martini where it's
been stirred. And the traditional way to prepare a martini pre-James Bond movies was to stir it.
And that's why this was revolutionary. And you didn't make it much with vodka, right?
Like gin, there's also gin.
Yeah, well, the Bond martini is gin and vodka, but I think
really?
It was... Yeah, because gin's made from potatoes, I believe, and that was like... wasn't that... Ian Fleming was snobby about it or something, and so he shakes it because it,
like
it gets colder... Quicker.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something like that.
And, but now, I think traditionally they're all mostly, whenever I see a martini prepared, it's shaken.
Yeah.
Unless you go to some bar that has Edison light bulbs
And it's funny, too, because it was really Casino Royale when that came out that they started calling them Vesper Martinis again.
Yeah.
They were just Martini or like a Bond Martini or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Were we out somewhere? I'm trying to think if it was you or I ordered a martini somewhere, an old-fashioned martini, and it came out. And I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a gin martini, you know. And it came out, and it was a Vesper.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
Interesting.
I don't remember where it was.
A lemon twist on it.
This one comes to us from Rob Downs, RB Downs 73. He says, should they drop the Quantum Group story and just go back to Spectre, since they have the rights back?
No,
no.
I like
Quantum. I'd like a little
And Quantum is Spectre. It can be
Spectre.
Well,
you know, Quantum can be the under, like it's not the parent company. The parent company, Spectre,
Why
should
complicate
be Disney.
It? Because also Spectre is a ridiculously shitty acronym.
It's such a stupid name. Do you know what Spectre stands for?
No, remind me.
It stands for Special...
Executive...
Special, so SP.
Right.
Right, Special... Executive Counterterrorism and Extortion.
Revenge and Extortion.
Revenge and Extortion.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So you don't need it.
So
but that's
dumb.
Great. But that seems so very 60s and there's nothing
And Quantum's about. A great name for an enemy.
It's evocative of Quantum Leap.
Real sleepy.
By the way, that's a good name. I would name a daughter Emily.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Quantum.
Nope, not going to do that.
Quantum Emily Jr.
This isn't going up, right?
This is going up. Okay. I'm sorry, it's going up.
All right, I apologize. There's no need to comment on the shittiness of this episode.
You know what?
We're
even here's what we'll do. We'll even throw this up over the weekend.
Okay.
And that way, it doesn't go up as a regular sort of episode.
This is
really
a doesn't.
This is a very special
episode.
Maybe
make it limited edition. You get it for a week. And
you know what? And actually,
there.
What we'll do is we're going to record after this. Remind me. We'll record an intro.
Okay.
Talking about this episode.
All right.
Because I think it's fair to tell everybody what happens.
Sounds good.
This one comes from Herodinaday. Herodinaday.
Good name for your daughter.
Whose Twitter handle is at Delisizzle. D L. We're not laughing at your name, just at how I pronounced it.
She's such a fan of Touched by an Angel.
At D E L O S I S L E. It's Della Reese's Sizzle Reel. Della Sizzle.
Yeah, I edited that once in 1999, and it stuck.
It's probably where you know me from.
On Win Movie. She says, your suggested future Bond girl character names. Ooh, we can get real punny with this.
That's great.
Yeah.
For a while, I've been trying to pitch a hashtag to @midnight, rejected Bond movies and rejected Bond characters. And no one's been on board, but I guarantee you'll see it soon enough because we'll run out of hashtags.
Okay.
Suggested future Bond girl names. So here's some real examples that we can get started with. Holly Goodhead.
Mm-hmm.
Sylvia
Trench, which we all had the realization was a bomb.
That was a vagina that we were talking about.
Xenia on a top,
Pussy galore.
So, I would like them to go back to the books and just take some of the regular names they haven't used. Like Moonraker, they got Galabrand. That's a good name.
Galabrand is great.
Yeah.
I'm going to name a Bond girl.
I go.
Go. Yeah.
Clitina. Gonorrhea.
Clitina gonorrhea.
She'd be a real nasty.
She just goes by Tina.
Yeah,
and then he sees her license and he goes, Clitina.
There's a henchwoman named Vagianta.
Vagianta. She's a large Amazonian type woman.
Wait, and that's real.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my
God.
That's what he just made up.
No, because you said there is one. I was like, no.
And I'm going to have to say.
Or Vagina Dentata.
Yeah,
with metal vagina teeth, like Jaws.
Like
she just called Jaws.
That's, no,
but
they're
it's the
sister
reboot.
And brother.
Lady B. Ya. She's the regal, and it's labia.
Oh.
If you say it fast enough.
Lady B. Ya.
Lady B. Ya. Great, we're favoring that one. Do you guys have a favorite Bond mistake that was kept in a film? And he thinks we missed this one in Diamonds Are Forever. I'm going to take a look right now. Is it the wheel coming off the motorcycle? Yes, it is.
Yeah.
We know all about it. This comes from Paul Weller. Paul is at Paul, W-E-L-L-E.
Paul Weller, the musician?
At P-A-U-L-W-E-L-L-A-R. Paul Weller.
Okay.
Favorite Bond mistake has to be the guy in the camera in Man with the Golden Gun.
I found one in Live and Let Die, did I tell
Wait,
you?
Wait, what's the man in the camera?
There's just a shot of a mirror, and you can see the crew.
Well, they're in a fight, and they turn it on accident, and just the whole crew shows up in the mirror, and they're kind of like...
That's great.
Yeah. And they left it in. Great, yeah. You found it in Live and Let Die?
Yeah, well, in the train fight at the end, there's a point where you can see the cameraman in the glass.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love it.
Guy Hamilton wants to be in those movies so badly, he leaves the mistakes in.
I think in one of the Pierce Brosnan ones, there's a scene where you might not see it, but he just had shit his pants, and you can just see there's shit everywhere.
Well, Tomorrow Never Dies is just a mistake, but leave it in.
All right, we're gonna do three. We're gonna do three more questions, and then we're gonna wrap this baby up.
Yeah.
This one comes to us from mutual friend Josh Flaum.
Oh,
at Josh Flaum, F L A U M.
I didn't know you knew Josh.
Josh worked with me on Attack of the Show.
That's right.
Josh feels like he's responsible for this podcast.
How would I not know that? That's how I know you.
That's how we met. Oh my God. Through Josh.
I absolutely knew that. And that was
he said to me. This is how this happened.
Yeah.
He said to me, Matt Gourley from Super Ego. I'm like, yeah, yeah. He goes, he's a big James Bond fan. You should pitch him for the segment. I said, yeah.
Oh, God bless you. I've been fast friends ever since.
Josh Flaum said, let's get him on, and then here we go.
Josh's a good guy.
Josh says, do you think James Bond will be just as popular if his name was Bitsy Chumdog?
That's a good question.
No.
Bitsy Chumdog. Now, here's the thing. Think about it. The name's Chumdog. Bitsy Chumdog. Pretty good ring to it.
You see, when I originally conceived of the character, I called him Bitsy Chumdog. Is that it?
Yeah, no, that's what we're saying here. Bitsy Chumdog. Now, what made you?
Well, I was dating a woe man who was named Bitsy Chumdogra of the Hampton. New Hampton, Southampton, West, East, and Northampton Chumdogwas.
So she got around the Hamptons.
I believe she did, let me tell you. She was
did you meet her on the island?
Eternally human.
Did you meet her on the island?
To grow orchids.
Oh, of course. I was asking if you met her on the island of Jamaica or in the Hamptons.
Yes, you sort of met her everywhere you went, you know. She was that type of woe man.
Yeah.
And she had a frost about her eyes in a cataract sort of way that makes you think she's willing to go for it.
Sure. Yeah. Now, Ian, was she an older lady, or was she just
hard
sort of...
to tell with all the liver spots, you know?
Yeah.
That usually is an indication that she's
well,
old.
There's so many that it obscured her actually. It belied her wisdom was beyond her years.
This is going to be strange because, you know, every time you visit me...
Yes?
Matt Gourley, my co-host...
Who is this?
He's this wonderful guy. He actually co-hosts.
Talk of him, but he's gone.
He always leaves as soon as you show up.
I don't know what to say.
This is very strange. And someday I hope someday you can meet him. I hope so too.
He sounds like a roguishly handsome chap. Dashing.
Do you know that for a month?
What?
And he would sit in a pub and read your books.
Well, I like him already.
Every day for a month.
Do you know what Snickers are?
No, are they like a Mars bar?
They're very much like a Mars bar.
I see.
Here's what he would consume, and I just want Ian. I want your opinion on this situation. He had recently broken up with a lady.
Oh, I've been there.
His own Bitsy Chumdog.
Oh, Bitsy.
Yes, of course. And now, what he would do is he didn't want to do anything.
Right.
So for 30 days.
Yes.
He would go into this pub.
I see.
Every night, consume the same thing. A Guinness, a pint of Guinness.
Oh, you could do worse. Put a little champagne in there. Have black velvet.
Ooh, that sounds great. I didn't even know that was a drink, but
thank you, Ian, for sharing that. The man with the golden gun.
I'm loving it.
I think they call it black and tan or black velvet. I can't remember. It is different here than it is there.
Yeah, of course, of course. Now, he would consume this with a fried Mars bar equivalent.
Fair enough.
And a corned beef sandwich.
I say.
Every single night.
It's a little continental, but I'd do it, you know. Well, seeing as how, who cares about the health ramifications? I smoke something on 160 cigarettes an hour, so
wow.
I can't say
you've
that.
Already finished that's four amazing. While you've been talking
I know.
Like, I've never seen anything burn this
well,
fast.
I have to put one between every finger.
Yeah, of course.
Just put them in, like I think I've said before. Rather than a cigarette Gatling gun, it's more of just a long line of
so
cannon.
you always act like an embarrassed Chinese girl. This is amazing. Look at him doing this. This is amazing.
So quick.
Matt is not going to believe us.
Anyway, I have to be going.
Oh, it's weird because when Matt left, he didn't say anything.
Oh, well, now I don't like him. How rude is it?
That was very rude of him, but hopefully he'll be back. But Ian, thank you so much for joining us.
It was actually nice meeting you again.
Thank you. Nice to see you. I'm glad you're back.
It was really great.
Okay, bye now.
May your days be whimsical.
Yes. All right. I'm around the corner. You can't see me. Oh, hello. You must be Matt Gourley.
Hi. Who are you?
I'm Iron Fleming, don't you see? Who? Ian Fleming? No. That's not how you said. Oh, well, anyway, it was great to meet you. I still don't know who you
Matt,
are.
Matt, come on back into the podcast, Matt. Right.
Hey, guys.
Open.
Hey, guys.
Dude,
do you know what you just
met
missed?
The kookiest old bugger out there.
Wait,
let me tell
no.
You. Yeah.
That you're not going to believe this. That was Ian Fleming.
Oh, I don't believe it.
That was literally Ian Fleming.
Did you talk to him?
Here.
Yeah.
What did he say?
Well, he said his name was Ian Fleming.
Now, wouldn't you make that connection since we've been talking about Ian Fleming?
No. I still don't make the connection.
Matt, this what? Is very weird. Uh-huh. I feel like you should have recognized
guys,
him.
Jurassic Park's not a good movie. Let's
we're not
what?
Talking about... We're back on James Bond
okay.
now.
All right. All right.
Matt, someday you're going to run into Ian Fleming. He visits the podcast regularly. Maybe you should take a listen.
All right. I think he's dead.
Oh, that's too bad. We're going to take two
By
more...
By the way, I watched that Ian Fleming miniseries.
Did you?
Yeah.
How'd you feel about it?
Didn't like it.
I didn't watch it.
It's not.
I'm
it's
saving,
in some way it's not
it
its fault. The acting's
movies.
Really good.
I'm saving it for when we run out of movies.
Those BBC dramas are getting real melodramatic now.
Yeah, that's very true. They're all trying to be Downton
yeah,
Abbey.
Yeah, it felt like it.
Here's a question from Paul Hodgert.
Hodgert.
Hodgert, probably. Paul at PaulHodgert. Has anyone fully explained short selling stocks to you guys? Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's been explained in the email, I'm sure.
I've had it explained to me probably four or five times, and I leave the explanation understanding it, and then 5 minutes later I can't.
That's like anything with stocks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that I don't possess the capacity to understand it. I don't possess the will.
Yeah, I don't want to understand it.
I do, but then I just
I don't
quickly,
want to because I just
don't.
Get so terrified of the fact that all of this money exists just on paper.
Yeah.
There's yeah. no actual cash exchange.
It's like Bitcoins, guys.
Yeah, big
guys,
time.
Bitcoins
yeah.
are Bitcoins are in trouble. Yeah. Bitcoins are in trouble. $425 million in Bitcoins gone.
Yeah.
Save the Bitcoins.
Oh, man. Okay. And final question from Mike Borda, Mike_BORDA. Mike asks us, would you ever accept an American bond, or would it be too much like a Felix Leiter spinoff? Well,
I don't see the point.
There is no point.
There
is no point to that. America has a number of James Bonds.
Yeah.
You know, Jason Bourne is one
yeah.
of them.
Uh-huh.
John McClane is another.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's character from True Lies, whose name I can't think of right now.
Maybe Action Jackson. Maybe
Action
heard of
Jackson.
Remo Williams.
Apollo Creed.
Fortune Dane. Oh, come on.
Austin Powers.
Did you see Remo Williams?
No.
Do you remember that movie? Fred Ward from the 80s was kind of a James Bond knockoff.
No.
Worth visiting.
Worth
sometime.
A visit?
Joel Grey plays an old Asian
I love it.
Trainer in it. Old
I
Asian
it.
Man.
Beautiful.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
Wow. That was our mission briefing, guys. Got a little off track here and there, but overall,
well, thank
I think
God
this
you
is...
waited 3 weeks for that.
Listen, I'm happy.
I'm
happy
fun.
With the episode. We had fun,
yeah.
And I think the audience is going to have fun getting to know a little bit more about their fearless co-host, Matt Gourley, seller of Volkswagens, consumer of Snickers. Craig Rowan, thank you
Craig.
Very much for joining us
thank
here.
Thank you for having me back.
We
back.
Fully yeah. appreciate it. Yeah. Thanks for filling in for Kumail Nanjiani or Kubail Noshoani.
I think before you said no show up-y.
Yeah.
Okay, that probably made way more sense.
Yeah.
Either way, you know.
I don't know Kumail.
Which
so
one's more of a
things.
Dig?
Kumail wasn't meant to be a big dig. I know you're busy. Don't worry about it. We'll reschedule you. We saved License to Kill for you. I know you watched it today. Interesting. Anyway, with that, we salute you.
Guys.
Thank you for listening to James Bonding. We'll be back. We will return with License to Kill. We promise. We just have to figure out the scheduling. We're so busy now, and
yeah.
it kind of sucks for the scheduling, and we do feel bad that we don't get episodes out as often as we should be getting them out.
But let us look on the bright side that this will at least last longer, which actually I like, because I will be sad when it ends.
Yeah,
too.
I'll be sad too.
Yeah.
We'll probably try and stretch this out, you know. Craig will be back for another edition of 1990 High Five.
Uh-huh.
1980 Heaven will be uh-huh. back. It's
yeah.
going to be really good.
Yeah.
2006 is going to be back.
1933.
Uh-huh. 1990 Fun is going to be the offshoot I'm starting. Where
1990
you just...
Fun, the Dave yeah. Matthews Band formed in Virginia. I'll talk about it. It's going to be great.
2000 and Jew.
2000 and Jew. You'll have to host that one, Craig.
2000 Lucky Number Slebin, where we just talk about how great
Slebin.
It was that
Lucky
movie came out. Yeah.
It's going to be fun. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you. Send your comments and questions and all that stuff to the Twitter handle at James Bonding Pod, and also to our email address, bondjamesbonding@gmail.com. Thank you and good night.
We ear love you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You want to see my collection of men corpses and one woman?
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins is crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.